The Vedic scriptures are very voluminous and grave, yet their purpose is singular and very well clearly outlined by the Vaishnava Acharyas. Just like the thieves who are put in the jail, they don't have to do anything except one thing. For example, they are given the food, they are given clothing, they are given place to rest, they are given medication, everything is provided to them. There is only one thing that is expected of them, which is they have to give up their criminal mentality. Then they will be out of the jail. In the same manner, in this material world, we don't have to do any big thing, any great thing. There are so many people who are caught up in social service and nationalism and so many different type of activities, burning out themselves, working very hard. Actually, we will see that it is not by the endeavor of living entities that the economic problem of this world is being solved. It is not by the endeavor of living entity that the tussles between one country and another country is being solved. Actually, everything is being arranged by the will of the Supreme. Especially the items like the sunlight, the moonlight, the water, the air, the fire, and the food grains, and all the items meant for our sustenance, none of them are prepared by human beings. None of them are manufactured by human beings. In fact, they are all supplied by Krishna to keep us living in this material world. That's why Yo Vididhati Kaman, it is said. Vididhati Kaman means the Lord is the maintainer of every living entity, including the atheists also. Everyone is being maintained by Him. But the living being has to endeavor for only one thing. He has to endeavor and to surrender and seek the shelter of the Lord and unpretentiously call out His holy name. That is the only expectation from the living entity. Nothing else. The living entity has to give up the mischievous mentality and unpretentiously call out the holy name. That's the only expectation of the Lord from the living being. Although the scriptures are so many, they may promise some material benedictions, they may promise transport to heavenly planets, they may promise so many mystic powers and abilities. But those are all considered lower class religion. The only true religion that the Vaishnava Acharyas have highlighted based on the scriptures is the unpretentious call for the Lord's holy name. What does that do? By if one is able to call out the holy name like that, it takes care of everything. Just like if a child unpretentiously calls its mother on a telephone, if they are in America, please come and take me to you. Then immediately the parents will make suitable arrangements to take back the child, isn't it? But imagine if the child were to go to America on his own, without depending on the parents, probably it is unimaginable. He has to find out the suitable flight and book the flight and go to the airport and board the flight and get on at the appropriate place. You can't even imagine such a thing can ever happen. So, that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, he says a story of Mayavadi. How Mayavadi reaches the Parampadam and how a Vaishnava reaches the Parampadam. He says there's a big difference between the two. Like a man who wanted to go to his some relative's house. He says he went there, but he had the ego that I don't want to tell anyone. I don't know the place. I will find it out myself. So he thought, how I can find out? So he saw there were many cows grazing. So he thought that all these cows belong to that relative. So if I catch hold of the tail of one of the cows, I will reach. So why should I ask anyone? He didn't ask anyone. So he went and caught hold of the tail of one of the cows, and the cow started running in great fear. And then it ran through big bumps and big depressions and stones and pebbles and thorny bushes and forest and everything, and that cow was somehow or other trying to escape from this fellow. And all through this place, this fellow's hands and legs and body all got bruises, his teeth got broken, his nose got punched, and his head was bleeding, and his left hand was broken, and leg got sprained. In this way, with all this difficulty, at last when he reached his relative's house, he was half dead, lying outside the door, not even able to get up and go in. So, in the same manner, impersonalists and Mayavadis, they try to attain the Parampadam by their own endeavor. He says, and still they reach only the frontiers of the spiritual world and are having no Shakti to enter the spiritual world. But the devotees of God, they take shelter of Krishna. And they, as I said, the unpretentious call, that actually brings Krishna to this world. The holy name is itself Krishna. So Krishna uplifts the devotee, as he has promised. He says, I maintain my devotee while he is in this material world, and I take my devotee back. Both Krishna says, yoga kshemam vahamyaham. He says, whatever my devotee needs, I send all his needs. Why? Because he is just calling my name. He is engaged in his dharma, so I will protect him, take care of him. And then he says, teshamaham samuddharta mrityu samsara sagarat bhava minachirat partha mayaveshita chetasa mayeva mana adatsva mayibuddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mayeva atavurdvam nasamshaya. So he says, Tesham aham samuddharta, I am the swift deliverer of my devotee. He says, like you see that picture of Lord sitting on Garuda and putting his hand down and lifting the devotee from that vast ocean. That verse is illustrating the verse, Ayananda tanuja kinkaram patitam mamishane babambudo kripyata vapata pankaja sthitaduli sadrisham vichintya. So Lord uplifts the devotee back to the spiritual world. And he gives his promises in many places. You surrender to me, you take shelter of me, but unpretentiously. What is the meaning of unpretentious surrender? While we are in this world, we tend to feel a great security by our material relationships and friends. When one has a husband or a wife or children, mother and father, grandmother, grandfather, and relatives, colleagues in the office, surrounded by all these relatives and friends, one feels very secure. Anything happens to me, they will take care of me. You know, I'm not in trouble. They love me so much that they will support me. This is a artificial sense of security. Similarly, every living being in this world, we will find, especially human beings, they work very hard and keep accumulating. The purpose of accumulation is to make sure that there will be no danger for me in future. And that accumulation of money in the form of bank balance gives one an artificial sense of pride that nothing can harm me in this world because I have money. And with money I can purchase anything. If I have some medical problem, I can throw money to the doctor and they will be at my beck and call. If I need some enjoyments of this world, I can throw money and I can get them. There is nothing I cannot purchase with my money. And so in this way one becomes very proud about the bank balance that one has accumulated. Similarly, people also take shelter of doctors and police and military and such kinds of artificial protectors in this world. And in this way one gradually puts more faith in the bank balance, more dependence on the relatives and more love for the possessions of this material world. Because of all these things, one becomes a secure prisoner in this world. One is just not about to call out the Lord's name very fervently with devotion. As I was telling yesterday, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, and all these yogas, the only problem in Bhakti Yoga is one has to engage the soul in Lord's service. Not just the senses, not just the mind, not just the intelligence, but one has to engage the soul in Krishna's service. As Prabhupada said, the Bhakti Yoga is simple and the process is simple, but application is difficult, he said. Why the application becomes difficult? Because one finds difficulty in being unpretentious. That is the difficulty. Because one repeatedly tends to look for alternative shelters other than Krishna. Just like I was speaking a lecture in a college about art of mind control, at the end I concluded and said chanting Hare Krishna is the only way for controlling the mind. So any questions I asked? One by asked, sir, can you tell us any other method other than chanting Hare Krishna by which I can calm the mind? I asked, why any method other than chanting Hare Krishna? Why not chant Hare Krishna? Because the living entity always focuses his mind on Krishna Itara, leaving Krishna. So this is our homework, that we have to give up our criminal mentality and take shelter of Krishna unpretentiously and call out the holy names of Krishna every day only to improve the quality of our surrender, more and more and more. As we improve the quality of surrender and we improve the realization that there is no alternative shelter that is a permanent shelter. There is no alternative shelter that will satisfy my heart and soul. Krishna shelter only will satisfy me. This is my one and only shelter. So till we come to the point of that conviction, we will be taking on different bodies in this material world. That is why the Bhakti Yoga process is very simple. As soon as one has surrendered to Krishna like this, calling out Krishna's name with a right consciousness, then one is preparing to go back home, back to God. Harinam Prabhu ki. Let's offer our humble